Welcome to Frontiers, Defending Our Freedom and Faith, brought to you by the Greater Syracuse Association of Evangelicals. My name is Dr. Bruce Jones, President. Good morning. We've been talking about separation of church and state and how the First Amendment has been twisted to mean other than what we believe it means as Christians. And today we have a guest from the American Center of Law and Justice. Welcome, sir. Tell us your name and what you do there.
Dr. Jones, my name is Colby May, and I am the director and senior counsel of the Washington office of the American Center for Law and Justice.
Well, welcome, sir. We're delighted to have you on the air, and we appreciate your ministry in many of the fronts that you're fighting to defend our freedoms. The first question I have for you today is, when you come to the First Amendment, I believe there are four different interpretations of the First Amendment. So would you please quote that text and tell us in context what you believe it means for us as Christians?
Sure. The First Amendment is a wonderfully brief but very important and broad expression of the freedoms that are guaranteed to the citizens as against the government. It simply says that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Essentially, all of those individual rights preserve unto the people the capacity to speak their minds freely, to openly engage in political discussion and in civic activity, and to make sure that they are able to push back against what they believe may be actions by the government that they object to and otherwise disagree with very heartily. Important to remember that this protection is as to the government, not your neighbor. So if your neighbor says to you, "Now, Joe, I'm sick and tired of you saying such and such, so please be quiet," that's not a First Amendment issue. But if it was the government coming in and saying, "You cannot put a flag on your front yard," or you can't otherwise engage in a peaceful assembly or a parade or something along those lines, then the First Amendment is kicked in.
Well, when you think about the First Amendment, one of the key issues is our freedom of religion, and it seems that the common view of separation of church and state is to divorce God from government, to take what we want to believe as Christians out of the public square entirely. So you find many, many cases of this. That interpretation doesn't seem to me to be what the First Amendment is all about. So would you please explain to us what the First Amendment means in context when it was made regarding the states and the different issues that that relates to?
Sure. The states, of course, created the federal government through the document we hold as the Constitution of the United States. And in it, they gave up a certain amount of their rights and their sovereignty to the federal government, if you will. And among them was the reminder that the federal government could not establish a religion of any kind, a state religion. And that's in the context of certain of the eastern states, including Virginia, for example, having a state religion. They had Episcopalianism, if you will, was the state religion of Virginia. And obviously the First Amendment didn't mean that Virginia could no longer have a state religion at that level, but that the federal government could not create one. Unfortunately, since the Second World War, the Supreme Court has weighed in and said, well, what we mean by establishment of religion is not an actual Anglican-type church arrangement, but rather it is instances in which the government may appear to side with or otherwise be endorsing religion. And that, curiously enough, is in the face of having a national motto which says, "In God we trust," and a Pledge of Allegiance which says, "Under God," and many of the other natural historical touchstones reminding us of who we are and how we got here. So you've got that understanding of the protections of the Establishment Clause to make sure that the federal government doesn't do certain things, but didn't otherwise limit the states in certain ways. So it is a little confusing, and of course when you roll through the Civil War and the 14th Amendment, which then dramatically changed the application of all of the Bill of Rights to now include application to the states themselves, no longer can the state of Virginia, for example, have an Episcopalian or Anglican church as the state church. And so that's been the way in which the amendment has evolved. But as you say, unfortunately, many, many folks now see that government is antagonistic to, in fact, goes around looking for ways to remove the historic and religious symbols of America's history, simply because they believe that's what's required under the Establishment Clause.
Well, the next time we meet, sir, we're going to talk about judicial activism. But thank you for being with us today and telling us a little bit more about the First Amendment, which should guarantee our rights of freedom of religion and freedom of speech.
Join us next week at the frontier, where our freedoms and faith are being attacked.
Thank you for listening. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of GSAE or the Mars Hill Network.